We were talking about the seasonality. We now try to understand what are the causes of seasonality. By this time, you would have understood what seasonality means. So we now count on causes of seasonality. The very important seasonality linkage is with the weather and climate. And it is believed that people travel to warm places in winter. Obviously, nobody would like to go to a place where there is snow all the time that you are holidaying. It's okay for a day or two, but all your 1 week holiday is a winter and it's snowfall. So that makes your travel totally uncomfortable. It's okay, as I mentioned, you go to Kashmir and see a snowfall for 2 days, it's fine. But a total holiday with the snow or a cold weather, which means your entire holiday concept is gone, because snow and a cold weather affects your system and your body. Another element of seasonality or cause of the seasonality is school holidays and vacation period. Take for example, in India, from April to June or April to May, that's 2 months, are holidays, school and college and everything. And it's a vacation period. So everyone has a holiday. Everybody would like to travel. Ultimately, it has impact on the pricing factor of a hotel, of an airline. Also, festivals are the seasons. Examples here are picked up from the carnival in Brazil, which happens in the month of Feb. Those of you who would know that even the carnival season goes in Goa, which was a Portuguese colony before, also experiences a little bit of carnival activities in the month of Feb. And the carnival in Brazil goes down throughout the country of Brazil. It's not only the Rio, but all the other cities have the festival season. The flights are full. The hotel charge away heavily. And that's the high season. I would also give example here. Given here is cherry blossom season in Japan. That's a high season. People go to look at cherries that are blossoming on the trees. Also, the Chinese festival. Chinese, who contribute to the great number of international travelers, are traveling during the Chinese New Year, which generally comes in Feb or Jan end. And that is the time when the hotels in Far East, from Malaysia to Singapore to Thailand to Vietnam to Philippines, all experience a high season. So these are the reasons for seasonality. And then, of course, cultural and religious holidays. For example, Durga Puja in Bengal, where we have a holiday for 10 days. And we have got a festival season and religious activities happening. For example, in Saudi Arabia, the Hajj period, it's a 1 week holiday. And that's the time when people travel. And likewise, cultural activities. Indian Mumbai schools are closed for 5 days during Ganesh Utsav. People go down to the countryside for Ganesh, arrival of Lord Ganesh, and so on. So these are all the factors contributing towards the seasonality. We pick up another reason of cost and marketing activities, which are considered high operational costs. They're mainly associated with fixed capacity at any point in time. As I was mentioning while explaining this high optional cost to you, that the operational cost remains the same. The wear and tear of the hotel, the taxes imposed by the government, the electricity utilized for the maintenance and into the hotel, that will remain operational costs and are fixed. So they cannot be changed. With the low supply or low demand or services being not utilized, product being not sold. Likewise, the operational costs are relatively high and includes available fixed level of capacity and the relative low variable cost. The variable cost could be the hotel rooms are not occupied, so electricity consumed in the room may not be there, but the electricity required to lit up the hotel to operate the lift will remain the same. The wear and tear of the property will remain the same whether the hotel is fully occupied or partly occupied. So further, the high fixed cost of operation in travel and tourism industry, we are coming here to cover large ongoing expenses like infrastructure, equipment, and staffing. I give you these examples to you. The hotel, if it's depreciated, whether it's occupied or not, they apply this depreciation on the equipment. They also apply depreciation for any machinery that is functional at the hotel, etc. So regardless of how many customers they serve, this makes effective demand management. And that's why the hotel or the airline work on creating a demand using the marketing power and to control the cost so that the more occupied room, more seat being sold, resulting into revenue generation and ultimately supporting the demand and also supporting the power of marketing. So cost control and pricing strategies critical to profitability. So what certain hoteliers, certain airlines do? In the low season, they reduce their operation. Suppose if they operate 7 flights a week, they may reduce in the low season to maybe 3 or 4 flights a week. To run the cost, they may possibly send the staff on a holiday in low season. Give them a break. Take them on a temporary basis, etc. So that they can control the cost and that will in turn support the profits, to increase the profit. We take account of what is fixed costs. I mentioned premises. For example, capital costs and the annual maintenance cost. Very simple example of maintenance cost can be whatever you have to maintain that property, including wear and tear, are fixed. You cannot change that, whether you are utilizing or you are not utilizing the services and goods. Rents, lease and rates, equipment, including repairs, renewals and servicing, all are fixed costs. You cannot change the cost as per the services not being sold, goods being not purchased, and so on. Air conditioning, lighting and energy costs would remain the same. Also, the insurance premium may not change if you don't have number of guests because the property has 200 rooms and the insurance costs will be the same for the whole year. Salaries and wages and social provision for full-time employees, this is a fixed cost. That is what I said, that they don't allow them to go on a holiday in low season. They are encouraged to go in a they will not be allowed to go in a high season. I repeat, high season. But they will encourage them to go on leave in low season because there are less number of guests and less services are required. But otherwise, salaries and wages and the other social provisions like provident fund, like gratuity, etc., like medical benefit, will continue for full-time employed throughout the period, whether services are being made available or goods are being sold or not. Also, fixed costs includes administrative expenses and management overheads, marketing expenses. All these that we have been talking are fixed costs that are high operational costs. That is why services and goods have to be continuously either sold or make situation where they are less impacting on the profitability of a hotel or an airline or any tourism product that is being sold to consumers. So these costs, these fixed costs, are mostly committed ahead over a specific period, say 12 months. So if you are an employee and the moment the employee turns as a permanent employee, then he or she becomes entitled for provident fund, gratuity, medical benefit, etc. So these have to be met whether the tourist attraction has 5 visitors, 50, 500 on any particular day. Now we have been continuously understanding that the services and goods are interdependent. So applying that to tourism, a tourism service in the form of a product is assembled by many producers. For example, if you are buying a package for Thailand, then there is a hotel involvement, there is an airline involvement, there is a ground handler who is involved, there is another service industry of a tour guide. All these services, which are produced by different organizations or individuals, are put up together and they are interdepending on one another and they go as a single enterprise. All these combinations as a service are interdepending on one another, resulting into one product that requires attention. So services in tourism is amalgamation of many components which together make a complete product. So let us add something more on interdependence. In tourism, services means that the various components of the travel experience, like I just said, the transport, which is airline, accommodation, which is hotel, food means whatever you dine there as a breakfast and lunch and dinner, or supper, or snacks, whatever, and the attraction and more depend on one another. So food will be required if the hotel has room which have been sold to the consumer who flew on an aircraft and to see the attraction. So as you see, the airline or the rail or the buses bring in tourists to stay in accommodation in form of hotel, resort, lodges, boardings, etc., where they consume food, meal, lunches, dinner, breakfast, snacks, and while they stay, they go to see attraction. So all these are interdepending on one another. They are interconnected and rely on one another for smooth delivery. So if the airline delays, airline cancels, arrives late, then the hotel room will be vacant for a particular day and the breakfast which was prepared for them may not be consumed. Likewise, the attraction will have less number of visitors. They are all depending on one another. A failure in one part can affect the reputation and success of others. If the airline is delayed, then the hotel will blame airline for bringing in passengers late, highlighting the need for coordination, communication, and collaboration across the industry. For example, if a group of 50 people arriving on a specific flight to, say, Bangkok, flight is delayed for 4 hours or 5 hours, and instead of arriving at 10 or 7 o'clock in the evening, it arrived 12 midnight. So they would need the service staff to be made available at 12 midnight because 50 guests have come late due to the late arrival of the flight. Ultimately, the staff would need for extra remuneration, some extra money for putting up their services as an additional working hours. So this will explain to you what the interdependence means. We have another role of intermediaries. By this time, you would have understood who are intermediaries. Tourism services come in the form of a package as a bundled product. So when you buy a tourism package, say a tour to Uzbekistan You have bought airline ticket from Uzbekistan Airline. You have stayed at a hotel in Tashkent, Bukhara, Samarkand. You have gone and dined. You have taken a city tour of Bukhara, Tashkent, and Samarkand. All these are come in a package where the services are provided by different suppliers and intermediaries. So sales intermediaries like tour operators, travel agents, reservation services, and hotel agents play a dominant role. So the intermediaries are required because they are an additional selling arm for selling tourism product, and they are considered as a marketing part for providing and acting as an intermediary. So they determine to a large extent which services be sold and to whom. As this explanation tells you, all these services being offered by intermediaries are playing an important role. We come to a type called travel motivation. Travel motivation refers to diverse in their nature. So what is that? So they are the reason, expectation, and desires which influence tourist choice for certain holiday destination. So type of accommodation and vacations activities. When people go to Dubai, they have certain thing in their mindset. Burj Al Khalifa. You have got desert safari. You have dhow cruises. You have visit to Gold Souk in Dubai. All these are the attraction that will bring to your attention, and you influence, they influence the tourists to pick up Dubai as a destination. And likewise, what are the vacation activities? For example, Dubai has, including safari, they have got beautiful attractions that they have been adding up every year continuously to attract tourists. For example, they have got Global Village, they have got shopping festivals, they have got Universal Studios, and many such activities which are added on a timely basis from time to time, so that this motivates the traveler to come to Dubai. Mind it, any travel destination will continue to show growth until you continue adding products to it. The moment you stop adding product, the tourist destination loses its charm, and then it becomes and starts seeing decline. So tourism activities have been very successfully monitored in certain destinations where travel motivation are always put into action. One of the fine examples that I would like to give you here is of Singapore. Singapore on the world map is a dot, very small little country which is a city in itself. But look at what they have continuously done. They have maintained the banner Singapore on the tourism map for over 65 to 70 years since they have come into existence, including making Chiangrai Airport as one of the attraction. The people even least love to travel out of Singapore to any Far East destination simply because even the airport attracts you and motivates you. So instead of picking up another airline, people will love to pick up Singapore Airline to either go to Australia, Japan, or any other destination. Now we take about what makes a travel motivation, what activates you, what brings momentum into you. There are push factors. The push factors that comes in from you, that pushes you, that for personal reason, I haven't traveled. One term that was used was revenge tourism. That was tossed after COVID. I haven't traveled for 2 years. In a revenge, I would like to travel somewhere. And that gave boost to a lot of destination. So that internal factor in you pushes you to go somewhere. And it is an exercise or an outcome from the pull factors. What attracts you to get this push out of you? And pull factors are external attraction that draw traveler to specific destination. That's a pulling factor. Okay, go down to Thailand. You will have wonderful Chao Phraya cruise river. You will have Siam Niramis show. You have got Siam water park. You have wonderful shopping. You have excellent Chiang Mai, Chiang Rai, Phuket, and all those destinations. These are pull factors, and both combined together motivates you. The pull factor from the external side and the push factor from your internal result into travel motivation. Coming up with another topic, dear student, is comparison with the other marketing forms. Let us learn about it as well. The product in tourism are designed, adapted, and promoted to meet the long-term and long-run needs, expectation, and interests of potential customers. So any tourism product, I just gave you an example of Singapore. It's a small little country. 3 to 4 days, and then you have seen the Singapore totally, at least tourist part. But look at how they have put and continuously promoted Singapore on the tourism map of the world. They are designed, adapted, and promoted to meet the long term. And they have continuously maintained that long term demand need, what tourists internationally want, and they work towards that and meet the expectation, interest of potential customers. I gave you example. Even their airport, Changi Airport, is famous for many international travelers. Either they are going to Australia or Japan, they would go down via Singapore simply to enjoy the transit instead of any other airport at the Changi Airport. And that's one of the, it's ranked very high. Even the Hamad International Airport at Doha is competing with Singapore airports simply because despite Qatar being so small, people love to transit that airport simply because it motivates them. And that is where the marketing is taking place. This is the basis of all consumer marketing format and the foundation of all market theory. So products are designed according to not only short-term, but even thinking long-term need. That's why when airports are built, they always say, we have planned to take X number of passengers after 30 years. This is how the planning is done. I will give you a fine example of the King Fahad International Airport in Saudi Arabia. Only 25 to 30% of the airport facilities or area is being utilized. Yes, it has been built for another next 100 years to come. Such an advanced planning was done for King Fahd International Airport on the eastern part of Saudi Arabia. So this is how tourism products are designed and promoted. Not for a short term, but long term. Visibility, vision of the planner should be long term. This is what happened to us for the Mumbai International Airport. With the single corridor available, we are running over 1,000 flights a week, taking 1,000 flights a day. I repeat, 1,000 flights a day approximately, landing and taking off from one single corridor at Chhatrapati Shivaji International Airport. That's why we needed another airport. And that's what we have seen, Navi Mumbai International Airport. coming up and into action. And those of you who are keeping a trace of this, the third airport planning has already been done near Palghar. Because Mumbai needs, and because Mumbai being so short of land, we have to go beyond the limits of Mumbai city and go into, that's why we see Palghar being picked up as the next possible third airport as per the government announcement. So this is the basis of consumer marketing and the foundation of marketing theory. We go further. In general, service products have peculiar characteristics such they are inseparable and perishable. We have counted on this, that they are cannot be separated. The service and the availability of service are both inseparable. You have to be physically present to avail that. And likewise, it perish if it is not utilized for a specific time period. So it requires a different approach in terms of the application to traditional marketing mix variable. So with this understanding, you need to have a different hat to be worn to put up the marketing in a total different format where you put mix variable, fluctuation, and adjustment from the traditional marketing that used to happen. So the service marketing theory is different from the product or goods marketing. So you understand this? The service marketing theory is different from product and goods marketing. Products and good marketing end with your product and goods only, whereas the service marketing theory had the option, availability of modifying, improving, and so on. We are comparing with other marketing forms, and we now pick up nature of the demand for tourism and the operating characteristic of supplying industries determine marketing in travel and tourism. Because the demand differs, you have seen the seasonality, the cost, all these create a demand. And with that mindset, you need to have a different characteristic of supplying industry has to fold in accordance with that for marketing, travel, and tourism. And promotion and distribution, ways used for travel and tourism product have its own characteristic. Now, the way the promotion and distribution varies. For example, flights coming in from Dubai will not always land in Mumbai. We have got number of international airports, be it is in south, or east, or west, or central, or north. We have flights to Delhi from Dubai. We have flight from Mumbai to Dubai. We have flight from Ahmedabad to Sharjah. We have flight from Trivandrum, Kochi, and Kozhikode to Dubai. And then we have from Hyderabad and Bangalore to Dubai. So different products and different marketing being struck because of the demographic scenario. So as you understood, that the tourism marketing needs a different attention than just selling services or goods produced in a specific traditional marketing. With this, I conclude my today's lecture. Thank you very much. I'm Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah. Thank you for listening to me.